Yeah.
Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun.
Peace this, peace that.
Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mind.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mind.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Poker session 14 of 150. The Brand Drew meetup at Hustler 2. The lead up. Last you heard, I battled back from being down 2K at Ocean's 11, and I booked a small win. Note, anytime someone says they quote-unquote battled back, that means they really started to focus and play well, and then they ran well. They always ran well if they battled back, just for the record. And why am I saying this? Because I know if I was downswinging or just breaking even for a while, and I heard some dude on a heater telling me he battled back and got a W when he won a nice pot with four aces and then manufactured a bunch of pots with bad hands, but everything he did worked, which absolutely is a form of run good, I would want to unsubscribe from that dude. Don't unsubscribe. I am fully aware of the role variance is playing in my good results lately, and I promise to be back in the abyss soon. Okay, with that out of the way, I drove back to my granny flat, and I ate some corn nuts and beef jerky, and I crashed at like 5 a.m. I woke up around 10 a.m., and I forced myself to go back to sleep. I thought I wouldn't be able to. You know, you wake up, and you say, shit, I'm tired, but I'm also spun. I can't fall back asleep. Well, you can if you make love to yourself and then you put on Sessions. And that's what I did. Slow talking motherfucker on a heater talking about playing good. I fell asleep fast to that shit. And honestly, I hated the podcaster for not shutting up once I was gone, once I was asleep. And that's a true story. I put this podcast on that you're listening to now, and I'll probably put this drop on at some point, and I'll already be asleep. And then, you know, when you're kind of asleep, but you still hear the talking, you want it to stop, and I get mad at the person that won't stop talking, and that's me, and that's weird. So what? I was able to sleep until about 1 p.m., and I got on the grind. I recorded a podcast about the night before, so it was all very fresh. That was session 13. That was the comeback session. I guess it was called Forever, yeah, at Ocean's 11. And then I raced to get my kids, where I was meeting them at Ralph's. And if I sounded manic in the previous drop, it's because I was rushing through 8 pages of notes. Usually I have like 4 to 6 pages, and I knew I had to go get my kids. So just, you know, sometimes you got to pick up the pace. Also, if I sound enthusiastic, well, I am playing better. And that comes with running good, just like playing bad comes with running bad. So it's still me here behind the microphone, still a variance truther, but also I'm not going to feel guilty about running good. And I am going to let it wash over me a little bit if I continue to run good. If it's irrational or not, I'm going to start feeling better about my play due to my better results, like everyone else in the fucking poker world. Yeah, because that's important. When you sit down to feel like everyone's dead, like, oh, shit, everyone here is horrible. They're dead. Like, they're dead against me. That's really powerful. And, yeah, so maybe I'll get to that. I've mentioned I'm working on my game a little bit when I have time. And I just have, like, a worksheet. And the title of it is Everyone is Dead. And that's how I always felt. My whole career, I felt like every person that sat down wasn't very good at poker, And of course, some of them were, but it doesn't matter. You want to feel like they're not, especially when I was playing Heads Up. I just felt like this kid across from me who plays on the internet is so fucking dead right now. And it you know, it really helps. It helps you not second guess. It helps you become unreadable. And it helps you pounce. And I felt that way my whole career until 2017. That year, I just lived in the abyss and personally hit a rock bottom, like a really deep rock bottom in life. And if I'm being honest, I haven't felt that way since 2017. So the last 4 years or 5 years, I haven't felt like everyone's dead at the table when I'm at it. Mostly I've just been scared of the deck, spooked and all that. And you've heard that. And that carries over into like, wow, this guy's kind of good. And you're like, well, yeah, he's kind of good because he has the best hand against you every single time. And I don't know. This is the year I plan to return to high stakes. And I hope to get that mindset back. And sure, there are people who are better technically, but when it comes to the live game, if I'm on and I'm feeling good, no weight on my shoulders, not spooked, you know, I'm happy to play against anyone. And that, you know, you can do that if you think they're dead. I digress. Ralph's cost me $429. Holy shit. The only thing more expensive than eating out is getting groceries, in my opinion. It's just insane. And especially if you want to start eating healthier, which I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to shed some pounds, not just for playing on stream, but for my health, for longevity. And so $429. And they don't have baggers. You got to bag your own shit, and they got long lines. And I wrote, what a racket. And I don't even know what that means, what a racket. That's just something boomers say. I remember as a kid, people were like, what a racket in some bullshit situation like Ralph's, where this single dad with two kids spends $429 and there's not even a fucking bagger and you're always spazzing, long lines, whatever. Anyways, we got back to the granny flat. Myself and my two little fuegos. And I gotten them sushi at Ralph's. I don't know if that's horrible or good or what. I do know it's kind of expensive. Let them have their sushi. I eat something healthy, some meat, some protein, and I correspond. I do a lot of correspondence, and then I work, and I write. And I was caught up in the story of my life at 8:23 p.m. on Friday, February 4th, 2022. And I had nothing to record until I played again. And that's a good feeling. And then you look at the clock, and it's 8:24. Let me take a sip of this coffee. So at the end of last season, I didn't know if we were going to have season 5, but I did know I wasn't going to tell my life story anymore. It was too consuming. It was causing me too many problems. And that I just believed that. And then when I hit record for the first drop of season 5, no, I'm going to tell my story, but I'll just keep it to 10 minutes and I won't get into, you know, personal details and whatnot. And it's gotten to longer lead ups, right? Some have been 30 minutes and that's okay. I think this podcast has always just gone where the spew has taken me. And, you know, it's just unorthodox and whatever, but it's organic, and I think people like that. And so I hope, I don't know. I actually don't hope anything. It's just going to be what it's going to be. It's going to be life story and poker, I guess, until it dies. Who knows? There will be times, though, when I blur through the story, and this is one of those times. I worked until my kids fell asleep Friday night, and then I crashed, and then I was a baseball dad in the morning. My son had baseball for 2 hours in the sun, and I was out there with a glove helping out the coach, and my daughter was doing the same, and then we went to get that oil change that I'd won, you know, two nights prior at Ocean's 11 after being down 2K, and then I was a hoops dad. We went to my daughter's basketball game. She played great. She's really turning it on. She plays better when I'm there. And then we went over to Sky Zone to meet the Chili Dogs and the Macaronis. And we were there late night. We were there for like 3.5 hours. We played some cards, did Chili Dog, Macaroni, and myself. And all our kids got along well. It was glow night. It was cool. And then got back and crashed. And I cleaned up and dropped my kids off at their mom's house. And then I drove up to L.A. And I checked in at the Doubletree in Torrance. And then Moose picked me up. And Moose is a longtime patron, extremely valuable member of DGAF community. He's the one that kind of formed it all, if you're a new listener. It was just, I was creating platforms for supporters, and then Moose just reached out in a very vulnerable, and it really brought everyone together. And that was right before the pandemic, I believe. And anyways, he picked me up, and they give you the most amazing cookies when you check in at Doubletree. And I decided I should give him a cookie for picking me up. And we went and met Macaroni and Beefunk at a sushi place in Torrance. And the sushi place didn't serve alcohol. Fuck. So I know there are certain things you can do that are no-nos for certain cultures, right? Like, I don't have specific examples because I don't know shit. But I do know that you can offend some cultures by taking them to certain kind of restaurants or whatever. Well, I'm pretty uncultured, fucking dumb American, but the only thing you can offend me by doing is take me to a place that doesn't serve alcohol. So, whatever. That was a quick sushi meal. And then we headed over to the Hustler, where they do serve alcohol. And we went upstairs, cool spot, and we sat around. We fired an NBA game, and DJ Melody showed up. And he's having beers with us. And this was the Brad, Owen, and Andrew Nimi meetup at the Hustler. And this is the second time I'd been there for one of their meetups. If you recall, it was towards the end of season 4, I believe. I went the one time, and I was just a wreck. I'd been working too hard. I was sober. I tilted. I ran bad. And I only played for like 30 minutes or something ridiculous. And so this is different. Things are going better for me in all ways, just a few months later, which is kind of a lesson probably for when it seems like, man, life sucks. Well, life can get better. And anyways, they had another meetup this weekend, did Brad and Andrew. And I've hung out with Brad a bunch, and Andrew's a patron, and these guys are awesome. And they came up and had some beers, and we talked, and they're going to be my competition in the poker streaming game. And so is Doug Polk, and I used to be friends with him. And I think it's kind of cool. I think competition's probably good. I think there's enough room for both the Lodge and Hustler Casino Live, and competition's fun. I don't know. We just talked a little bit about that and told Andrew his most recent vlog was insane. It was really good. I just can't believe how good these things have gotten, these poker vlogs. And he played really well in that thing too. And I was pretty buzzed. It was pretty blurry. And I said later to those guys, and I went in for a fist bump with Brad, and it turned into the most awkward shit ever. I'm the worst at like handshakes and fist bumps. Who cares? But I do remember, thinking, damn, I'm awful at that shit, as I walked down the stairs and went into the Crystal Room to start a 5-5-10 game, a.k.a. the Hustler game, 5-5-10 no limit. And let me take a sip of this coffee again, and then we'll get into the session. At 7:45 p.m. on Sunday, February 6th, 2022, I sat down in a 5-5-10 game at the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. The first note is Moose boxed me. Shocker. So Moose got lucky against me, and that's a shocker. He doesn't always run well. I know that. He always runs well against me, and he did. And the next note is the air up there. And that's just some movie from like the 80s or 90s, I think. And it just means card dead, missing flops, whatever. And then I lost a decent pot with King-4. I had King-4. My opponent had Queen-Jack. And the board was Ace-King-7-King. I bet I had three kings and person called and I lost. You know, because the river was a 10. And who was my opponent? Yep. And I love Moose. I hope he knows that. But he has run very well against me. And that's just the story. And now someone still at the Hustler from the meetup, I believe, opens. And I 3-bet with pocket 10s, and he calls out of position. It comes queen XX, and I lose, a moderate pot to queen 5 suited. So he opened queen 5, called, and got a perfect cooler flop against 10s. Good for him. It's time for my best play. So Moose opens to 50, and what does this mean? This means the hand is 5, 10, 20. If once you get the 10 official at the Hustler, you can straddle for 20, and that's better. And I did, and Moose opened to 50. Macaroni called. He's in the game. And I defended 30 more with King 7 offsuit. Okay, the flop came Queen 10X, 2 spades, 1 diamond. And we all checked. The turn was the Ace of Diamonds. So I have a gut shot now. Macaroni checks. I check. Moose bets 50. It seems very weak to me. I don't believe him. I think he would have bet with something that hits this turn. I think on the flop, he would have bet something that is good here now. And Macaroni calls, and I just sense that Macaroni would raise with something good, and so he's more inclined to have a draw. And so I check raise to 250. And Moose snap folds, and Macaroni calls. And Macaroni is a very good player. Moose is a good player as well. Macaroni is a very good player, longtime poker professional. But I just have a read that he's on a draw. And I have the worst image in history. For getting bluffs through, especially against good players, especially ones who listen to my podcast, and especially ones that see me have 10 Modelos upstairs before this. But I just have to do it. And so the river's a brick, and he checks, and I just calmly bet 300, and he folds. And so it's not, he was on a draw. I read it right. I read the hand right. That's step one. Just because you know what they have doesn't mean you get to win. Step two is, it's nice if you've been winning pots. That's just, I don't know what it is. We see someone turn over a hand, and then that person can bluff for, they have carte blanche with bluffing for a while. Well, I haven't turned anything over that's a winner. I have the other kind of image where you don't want to be bluffing, but the situation just fucking called for it, and it's easy to bluff when you're running good, and I wasn't, and I got through, and now I got, how much did I win in the hand? I won, $350, something like that. Or $400. That matters. And then I wrote, feels like Sky Zone here. And that's just me needling Macaroni, but not to him, but in my notes. And then he'll listen to it later. Because remember, he was at Sky Zone the night before with me while our kids were jumping around and I was playing three-handed 3-5-7 with him and Chili Dog. And I stung those guys for a little bit. So I wrote, feels like Sky Zone. That's just whatever. Okay. So now I have pocket sevens, and there's two quick all-ins. And I think about calling, like, when two players just have ace-king, you just know it? Well, then sevens is doing great. And I just decided it didn't seem like that enough, and I got lucky. They both were like quick all-ins, which is usually ace-king, but these two dudes had kings and queens. LA poker is different. LA poker, they don't waste time. They just jam. And so that would have been disastrous if I called with the sevens, because I never bring that much money with me anyways, and I'm losing still, even though I won the other pot. And now Macaroni gets stacked. He gets coolered, and he leaves, and I take a picture of his empty seat. And I try and post it in Slack to needle him a little bit. It's fine, and it won't send because the internet isn't connected, or I don't know. But so it just says sending, and I'm wondering if this is bad karma. I know it's not bad karma to needle him, but now I got to keep you know, hitting try again. I can't move on with my life. So I don't know. But now the guy who stacked Macaroni opens, and I 3-bet with pocket 10s, and I have been drinking a good amount. And I tell him, I got a queen, man. I better tell you right now, I have a queen. Why did I say that? I have no idea. So I just say, I have a queen. And he says, me too. And I said, cool. Yours is probably better. Something dumb like that. The flop comes queen, queen, deuce. He checks. I go ahead and bet here. Yeah, I got 10s. Said I had a queen. He calls. Okay. I think he has a smaller pocket pair here a lot. And the turn's a deuce. So queen, queen, deuce, deuce. And he checks. And now I check back. I don't think I can get 3 streets of value. I think I can go flop, check back turn, bet river. The river is a 7. He checks. I bet small because I don't want to, you know, the board's double paired. And he min raises me. And when he min raises me, I go, oh, shit, you have pocket 7s. I know he has pocket 7s. But guess what I do? I call. And guess what he had? Pocket 7s. And I wrote, on stream, I will fold. I do find this to be, sometimes I just want to confirm my read. And it's probably worth it sometimes. Like, you pay for information. So I bet small on the river, and he min raised me. I called the min raise, getting a nice price. And I knew he had 7s, and he had 7s. He had a 2-outer, and good for him. And now I lose $200 in a flip situation. That's going to happen. And then I lose 4-way pot with the best hand until the river. And I wrote, where is the manager? And I actually know the manager. I should have texted him. What's going on here? I'm not running good. And I didn't do that. And then I took a break. And I went up and had another beer real quick, a Modelo. They have large ones. And you just throw a lime in there. It's on draft. It's not bad at all. And yeah, they have full bar up there. And then as I was coming back, I heard a noise. I was walking back. I was down the stairs walking into the crystal room back to my table. And here's what I heard. Oh, hey, Moose, you're quitting? Shit, man. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh. Of course he did. Jesus. And so, yeah, in case you don't speak Moose, B-Funk was crushing in our game, and he made straight over straight against our friend Moose, and Moose was upset, as you heard, and he did a walk-off. He had to get out of there, and that sucks. So we've lost 2 of the 4 that went to that sushi that didn't serve alcohol. And DJ Melody played with us for a little bit too. He met us at Hustler, but he had to go somewhere. So it's just me and B-Funk left, and he's crushing, and now I miss a combo draw. And then I wrote fuck, and I don't think I fucked. I think I just wrote fuck, and it was blurry. And then 8 people at the table. I wrote 8 people at the table seems like a million. And when you can't get anything going, it's like that, right? Where you just, you're going to go through hours of not getting a playable hand, or not playable, but like not getting to a river, sometimes in poker. And 8 players seems like a million. And I want to play heads up. I want to offer heads up, open offer Twitter heads up. And I'm getting close to that. The missing ingredient right now is money. I used to do this. I used to just have, I would have the floor man at Commerce, the floor man at the Rio during the World Series, and that giant fucking, say, anyone that wants to play heads up for any amount, no limit hold 'em, come to the podium. Some guy's been drinking, and he'll happily play you. And I want to do that on Twitter soon. I just don't have the money yet. And And yeah, I think in LA, people will take me up on it and good. It'll be fun. I don't care. I'll do that shit on stream if there's any interest in that. Anyways, I am starting to get my, mojo, swagger, whatever it's called, starting to get it back. Of course, because I've been running better and that's how every fucking poker pro is. And, you know, even though this session's going poorly, you can't win all sessions. Still feeling good about my game. And I wish it was heads up, not eight-handed. And then I ISO someone with ace-10. It comes jack-6-2. And they check. I bet the flop. They call. People call wide these days on the flop. And the turn's a jack. And that's just a fantastic card for me to barrel on. And I have a bad image. I'm going to have to bet a lot. So I bet 300 into 150. And I took it. And why am I barreling on that card? Because it's just one of those things. When you have the crazy image, sure, you bluff a lot, but also you're crazy enough to bet two times the pot when you turn trips. And the two jacks out there is blocking him from having a fucking jack, obviously. And it's just easy. And, you know, it's better to do with some sort of read. But I had a read in that one. It worked. And I wrote fuck again. I don't believe I was fucking on this night, but I wrote that again. And now I have, I get a bluff through and then I have my worst play nominee. Some guy opens to 25. I know he's weak. The guy who stacked macaroni, the Mac stacker, calls. And I go to 200 from the blinds with Jack 10 offsuit. And this is just such a horrible hand to squeeze with. It just is, and especially to this amount, it's just bad. It's just so fucking bad. Anyways, the guy who opened folded, and the Mac stacker was actually out of position to me. He called the blind. He called. Okay. So when he calls 200, I hate it. I know he has a really good hand, and I'd rather make it 200 with an unplayable post-flop hand. Jack 10 offsuit's the opposite. It's very playable. But now I have narrowed this guy's range down to shit that has me crushed, I think. Anyways, the flop comes 10-9-5. He checks. I check back top pair. Debatable, but I don't want to compound my error. The turn's an 8. Okay, I have top pair open-ended. He checks. I still don't fucking like it. I check back. And the river's a king, and he checks. And now I just have to bet. I value bet. I bet 100. I bet 25% of the pot, and he calls and he has pocket jacks. So it's lame. I knew I was screwed when he called the 200. I shouldn't make it 200 with these stacks. Like, sure, if we're super deep, then you can do whatever you want, but we're not. And I wrote, duck my mom. And that's just a bad note, but it went in my phone, and so it goes in this microphone. All right, let me take a sip of this coffee before it gets cold. What do we have here? Someone opens and I call with Jack 9 offsuit, which you can definitely fold. And when I'm playing my sober game, I fold that, but not when I've been overserved and I'm stuck and I can't get anything going. And no, I call and, someone else calls too. And it comes 10-7 deuce and the preflop. Razor checks. I bet with my Jack 9 and 10-7 deuce and the guy behind and this guy call. And the dealer's being weird. I don't know why. Sometimes you have to deal with it. This is, live poker is not like how technically good are you. It's, can you handle all the fucking mayhem? And I don't know what's going on with the dealer. He might be getting into it with another player. Who knows? But it's just weird and it's distracting. And why am I telling you this? Because it's a story, man. Every casino has this. Hustler is my favorite spot. They have the lowest rake. They got the best food. And they do have the sickest action. And they sponsor me. And so, but I just tell the story. Some dealer's being weird. And I just bet with my gut shot. And I got two calls. And the turn's a king. And I have to posture here. I have to pretend I have a really strong hand. I got to read that neither of my opponents have a king. And I just bomb, and with all the mayhem going on around me, and it gets through. And then I get rivered, and I give a speech to the table. And sometimes, if you've been in the game a long time, and you can't get anything going, or you're running bad, you got to give a speech. And you know what's nice after you give a nice speech to the table? Getting pocket aces. Oh, boy. And someone opens, and I 3-bet with the aces, and I get two callers, and it comes ace, jack, jack. Okay, that's lame unless someone has a jack. And we just all check. And the turn's a brick, and we all check again. The only way I'm getting action here is someone has a jack or an ace, but obviously three of them are accounted for. I flop the aces full, and the river's a five, and I bet a third of the pot, and someone made a crying call with something. So I believe I won the maximum. It's nice to flop aces full, but yeah, whatever. And now here's a hand that makes me mad at Funk 2. I need another sip of this. It's just too good. It's from Starbucks. It says Venti Meth Place. It's good. Okay, so this is a 5-5-10 hand, and I'm the 10 with 5-4 offsuit, and a bunch of people limp in because that's what they do, and I check. And it comes 7-6-3 with two diamonds. Oh, my God. 7-6-3. I flopped a joint. And I'm going to check that. I'm sneaky. And Funk bets 30. That's B-Funk. He's up a trillion. Remember he made a bigger straight against Moose's smaller straight because he was a jerk earlier? Well, he's been crushing the table. And Asian Dame calls. And who's Asian Dame? That's just some cool Asian dude wearing a Portland Trailblazers jersey. He calls, and now I go to 150. I'm going to 5X this with the joint. They both call. Okay, give me a good turn card, dealer. It turns the ace of diamonds. Flush gets there immediately. I check. B-Funk checks, and now Asian Dame bets pretty strong. And what do you do? You flopped a straight, and you check raise 5X, got two callers, three-way pot, and the diamond peels off on the turn. I folded. Funk called, and the river's a brick. They both checked, and Funk won with a set. So I folded the best hand, and I'm mad at B-Funk for that. And that makes sense. Okay. But it's just, why is Asian Dame betting? Who knows? Like, it's just a bad spot to bluff or bet anything worse than a flush. It's just usually a check there unless someone has a flush. And I don't know. So I wrote, miss every fucking hand. I was being a baby, but that's okay. And then I was overbetting with 15 outs and getting called by naked ace high. And I wrote, welcome to L.A. So, yeah, you hear people in Vegas talk about L.A. poker. Oh, my God, I hate it. It's so wild. It's so crazy. And for me, it's always been the opposite. I spent a lot of time in L.A., and then I started playing in Vegas. I thought everyone was so uptight, and, like, the action sucks. And I much prefer the jungle. And you're overbetting with 15 outs. Naked ace high is going to call you in L.A. Two pair is going to fold in Vegas. Kanye, you like Guns N' Roses? You do? Nice. Anyways, man, I'm buried in this session. Guess what I keep getting dealt? Nothing right. Yeah, every fucking hand. And if I'm being fair, it really seems like that when you've been drinking a lot and when you're just desperate to make a comeback. You just, you've been running good, but you want to run better. You just want to get, you want to pay back every motherfucker you owe. Like, that would just feel so good. It feels good to pay anyone back any amount and get, you know, you got to get a new vehicle, you got to get a place to live, all this shit. And so it just feels like you're getting dealt nothing every hand, but really you're just going through a very normal stretch of card distribution where you get dealt dog shit. And then the next note's a little more positive. Flop trips win way too much. Thank God. So sometimes you're going to spew. Sometimes you're going to give speeches. Sometimes you're going to pay off bad. Sometimes you're going to get called by Naked Ace High when you've been drinking a lot. And also, if you flop trips, you can just bet everything and in the right spot and get paid off. When there was two jacks out there, that was different. It was a high card on board, and that was a good bluff spot. But when it's, you know, you flop like you have seven fucking six or something, and it comes like queen 7-7, and it's multi-way, and someone has a queen, well, you can just get just way too much money. And now I'm only stuck a nickel. And yeah, so sometimes, you know, there's pros and cons to drinking at the table, for sure. The pros are when you flop trips, you just win all the money. And, okay, the next hand I play is ace-jack of hearts, and I 3-bet out of position, and I get two calls, and it comes ace-ace-4 with two diamonds. And I bet the same amount, whatever I 3-bet to, and someone jammed. And the other person folded, and I called. And they either had a flush draw or a small pocket pair, but I just turned my hand over because the board ran out bricks, and I figured my ace-jack was good, and it was. And so all you got to do is complain in your notes about getting dealt nothing, and then you start, you know, you 3-bet and flop trips. Well, you flop trips, you win a bunch, and then you flop trips again, and some guy jams on you, and now I go back to the bar, and I'm winning. And that's nice, just like that. Swingy session here at the Hustler for the Brad and Andrew meetup, or after it. They quit playing around 5, and obviously I was just getting, you know, what, warmed up upstairs with some Modelos and watching some NBA at that time. So I went back up to the bar, and then I got called back. And you only get a certain amount of time away from the table, and I was thinking, I wonder if anyone's ever been called back from the bar to play the biggest game going in the casino more than I have in history. I don't know if that's, I mean, it's nothing to be proud of. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I don't believe in either of those two emotions, if that's what they are. But I wonder if anyone in the history of poker has been called back from the bar to the biggest game going in the casino more times than I have. I don't know. This is what I was thinking about. And I get a really great hand, 7-4 of spades, and I squeeze huge. And someone calls out of position. I'm sorry, they were in position, and it came jack 6-3 with two spades. What's this? This is a combination draw. You can get a 5, or you can get a spade, and sometimes you can just bet and win. Well, I bet, and the person called, and I thought they had a jack. And so on some turn cards, I'm going to continue, and on others, I'm going to check and call, and you know how that goes. The turn's an offsuit king. Okay, so I did squeeze preflop, and he called, and I put him on a jack, and like I could be the guy with ace king, and I decided to just send it all in. And he snaps because he had king-jack offsuit. So there's nothing you can do here. I read the hand right. I mean, you could not squeeze with 7-4 suited. Sure, that's optional. But I'm saying once you do, you flop the big draw, you bet the flop. On certain turn cards, you're going to jam. And he turns top two. That's just unlucky. You still got plenty of equity. And he says, you want to run it twice. I say, yes, because you can run it twice in this game. And the dealer says, you can? She calls over the floor man. And they have a lot of great floor men there. And they have one who always busts my balls. And he says, nope, you can only run it once. And I don't know why he said this. And the dealer says, okay, we run it once. I break out. I lose a 4K pot. And I go insane. I don't go insane. I just, you know, make it clear how bullshit I think this is. And it's the story, man. You work at this place. You're sponsored by this place. You love this place. And it's the best place to play. But sometimes the dealer's going to get out of line, and sometimes the floor man's going to be crusty. And that's what happened here. And yeah. So, and then I missed a double gut shot, and I fold. Now I start folding and stewing, right? Like, okay, you can't be a total clown just because you got a bad ruling and you're overserved and you've been working the last 3,000 days in a row. But so just fold and stew, right? No more jokes for a while. Just fold and stew. And I'm sure many of you have been there. And then I opened a 40 instead of 30 because I was mad. No joke. I had ace 10 and some old man went to 140 out of position. I folded that and I stewed more. And then I raised with king queen. I got one caller and I flop. Nothing right. Exactly, Kanye. Exactly. And then I stole with some shit. And my favorite thing to do. So if I steal a nice pot, you know, I'm just like everyone else. When everything's easy, I want to be interested in everything people have to say. I want to be very positive. When things are going poorly, I want to be quiet as a church mouse. And, well, you get your voice back. You just steal with some shit. You get your voice back. And my favorite thing to say when I've been a little overserved and I steal with some horrible hand is to say I overplayed my hand. I don't know. It's just my go-to. It's fun. Try it. Just be like, oh, I overplayed that. And people would be like, whatever. And then I gambled pre, and I flopped second pair, and I folded. And what does that mean? You know, those spots where you're like, well, I probably should fold this, you know, 5-4 suited because the person who made it a bunch is short, and they're going to be jamming the flop. But also, there's other people in, and it's just such a nice hand. Let's gamble. I'll take slightly the worst of it here, you know, math-wise, but for your soul, it's good sometimes. And I flopped second pair and tried to fold. And I wrote fuck again. And I don't believe I fucked 3 times in this night. Maybe. It was blurry. Anyways, 3 games left in the Crystal Room. It's getting early on Monday morning. And there's a shorthanded limit game going. And there's 2 of these hustler games, 5-5-10. This is the game. This is the game that will bridge the hustler's action to the high stakes action. They already have it on stage, right? And they're getting, now they have someone doing PLO. They have all kinds of PLO now. Well, this is how they're going to get the no limit. Is this 5-5-10, 300 to 1500, run it twice if you want. And so here it is. You see it. They didn't have, you know, people kind of cleared out mostly after the meetup. And we started this game, the people I brought, and then another one, they saw us drinking, having fun, whatever, and they wanted to play the same game and be a must move, and then they turned the must move off. And so there's 3 games left, and 2 of them are this game, and that's telling. And then I wrote, pay attention, floor, just to the one guy. He's fine. He's just crusty, and he always gives me bad rulings, and doesn't matter. It's just what you think poker world's perfect is not. It's the best place to play, but sometimes a dealer is going to get a little toxic. Sometimes a player is. Sometimes a floor man is going to be crusty. And it's just, it tilts me in the moment, and then the next day I always laugh. But, you know, it's a good game. 5-5-10 is a good motherfucking game. And so I defend with king, queen of diamonds 3 ways for $75. And the flop came ace, 8-5, all hearts. And in my notes, I actually put 4 hearts, but that's impossible. Ace, 8-5, all hearts. Fold, top pair, no good. That's the next note. And then own a face. That's a good one. When you just own someone, you it's better to have like a good winning image to bluff, but I did have aces full, remember? And I've had trips a couple times, and so I did have that one where I lost the 4K pot. Was it a 4K pot? Yeah, 4K pot with the 7-4 spades, but so what? You can still own some faces, and here's a good hand. So there's a dude in there who I played with at the end of season 4, and he's got on his hands, it says stay gold. And I know that from Outsiders, one of my favorite movies as a kid. And so he, call him Pony Boy. He opens at 35, and then this nice Asian dude wearing gloves He's buff. He reminds me of this guy that played in LA named Jay, but this guy's super nice. And he goes to 105. So we got Ponyboy opening in 35. Nice Jay opens, goes to 105. And I pocket kings and I go to 315. Can you cold four bet if you have a grinder image? I mean, you can, but it's better to have my image. Cold four bet. And he calls. Just nice Jay calls. And kings, it comes queen 10-5 with two hearts. I bet 220. He calls. The turn's a brick. I bet 420. And he raises. And I think, and I jam all in. He has a lot. I jam all in. And the river's a brick. And my hand's good. He had jacks. And he's like, you know, whatever. You're crazy. You could have had anything. And I said, yeah, I mean, I could. I got it in with seven high earlier for about this much. But I'm even after this one. So very swingy session. Buried, get unstuck, buried, get unstuck. Let's take another sip of this coffee and see what happens from this point on. And it's probably 4 in the morning on Monday, but so what? And Monday the 7th, and I'll be working upstairs later on in the day. And that's great. And I straddle and I get pocket aces. Not bad. And this ALD opens. And what's an ALD? It's an awesome looking dude. Like someone you probably don't want to do business with. You don't want him mad at you, but he'll be fun to party with, and for sure he's fun to play poker with. And he had maybe table change to our table, and I 3-bet with the aces from the straddle. So it's 5-5, 10-20. He opens to whatever. I 3-bet. He calls. It comes 10-3 deuce rainbow. I check. I just have a feeling about this that I said I've been. This is a leak in my game where I'm checking good hands, and then it's just impossible to get all the value. Where betting small and betting again is better. I just had a feeling about this guy, and the moment I checked, he said all in, and I don't even think he had anything. Then I obviously snap called, turn over my hand, and I just won all his yellow chips. I just had the overpair. As soon as I showed my hand, he just was like done with his hand. So I don't know if he had anything, and it doesn't matter. It was just a check, an immediate shove, immediate call, and holy shit, I have so many fucking yellow chips. And I spew off a few hundred to him to save my soul, and I wrote, and perhaps my life. So this dude seemed like someone you didn't want mad at you, and so you win a huge pop from him just by with aces, and you get, you know, so spew off a few to him. A few hundred, it's fine. And Asian dame is deep, and he has seat changed on me. He's gone to my direct left. I'm in the seat by the dealer, so I don't know if they play 8-handed or 9-handed. I think it's 8-handed, and he is in the 1. And so he seat changed to my direct left. It's okay. I think he's a recreational player, whatever. And he's super deep, and I'm super deep now. Because I just had this aces, and I had the kings where I won a bunch too. And I said, let's play a big one. And now I bluff catch the ALD, awesome looking dude. His hand made no sense, and I just bluff catch, and it was easy. Another easy several hundred. And I got this is all happening so fast. It's a rush. And now here's a hand for Dragon fans. It's 5-5-10. I pocket fours, and I open to 30, and I get three callers, and I open the button, and all blinds call. Okay, so I pocket fours, and it comes 9-8-4 with two diamonds. Hell yeah. They check to me. I bet 100 into 120. This is a good hand for it and a good situation for it to bet a lot, and it's a good amount, whatever. It's not anything that's going to win me any prizes, this bet sizing, but it's good. And what? I get two calls, Asian dame and the awesome-looking dude on 9-8-4, two diamonds. I just have a feeling a four is coming, and it doesn't. Offsuit jack comes. And so we have 420 in the pot, right? Because I went to 30, and three people called, and so that's 120, and I bet 100 on the flop, two people called, that's add three, 420 in the pot, offsuit jack, they check to me, I bet 240 into 420, I think it's right with a card higher than the nine coming on the turn, that could make a lot of draws and whatever, it could bring in draws, and Asian Dame is deep, and he check raises to 540, and awesome looking dude folds, and now it's back to me, and what to do with pocket fours on 984, two diamonds, turn offsuit jack, you can only call. You can only call here. Anything else would be an overplay. And so I call, and I don't know what he has. Maybe he has a straight. Maybe he has two pair. I guess he could have a bigger set. Who knows? And so I bet 240. He raises a 540. It's 300 more. You know, just feign a little weakness and call. Always feign weakness, but don't slow down the game. And the pot's now 1,500, and he has 3K. left, and I have more, and the river is a diamond completing the front door flush, but it's the four of diamonds. Oh man, I just made four fours, and the flush gets there, and that's beautiful situation. And he bet 700, and I don't have to bullshit here. I've said so many dumb things. I've been all in with seven high and a 4K pot. I've spewed off this and that. I just say all in, and I'm wearing shades. It's, you know, I've been playing for many hours, and he calls, and you know, I have quads, and he has pocket nines. So he flopped set over set, just like, what season was that? Season three, where I flopped set over set and lost. I did that twice in a week. He did it here, and I would not have got stacked if I didn't make quads, but still, you can't get much luckier than this. This is a fucking massive pot. This is a $7,500 pot, and just a ton of yellow and white coming my way, and he's obviously gone. Asian Dame is off into the morning, and I have all these chips. And I took pictures of my chip stack because on Slack, there's a sessions channel, and I like to post foreshadowing. I'm thinking of it as in the movie, not the movie, the series Breaking Bad, where you see the eyeball floating around the pool, and then you find out what it is later. So I want to post pictures of chip stacks and other stuff. And anyways, I took the pictures, and I didn't post them, but that's what happened. I got a rush. I had kings against jacks, and I won, I don't know, 1,500, 2,000. And then I had aces against God knows what, and I won about the same. And then I had this set under set, and I rivered quads, and the diamond got there, which is great for, like, maybe this guy has a flush. It's so perfect. Couldn't run any better. And now I have, like, 10K in front of me. And the ALD, the awesome-looking dude, says, only one way to get it back. And I'm thinking, is this guy talking about fucking robbing me? That's pretty funny. And yeah, and then he had 500 left, and we got it all in preflop. I had ace queen, he had 7-6 offsuit, 1K in the middle, he won. Who gives a shit? And now it's time for my worst play. I raise with jack 10 of clubs. I get three calls. It comes 9-7 with two clubs, 9-7X, two clubs. So two overs and a straight flush draw. And I bet. I don't like betting here multi-way. I like checking and I like checking much better. So this is it's in Vegas. I like betting in LA. I like checking, and you can check raise, you know, or you can just, it can come on the turn and get paid. It doesn't matter, but I just like checking so much better that I made it my worst play. I bet awesome looking dude calls with two players behind. So I'm thinking he might have something. And the turn's an X. I check, he checks. And the river's an ace. And I go ahead and fire, and he calls. And I say, you're good, man. I turn over my hand. And he turns over queen jack of spades. So this guy is a real one. I wrote, don't bluff ALD. But also, I'm so unstuck. I'm so unstuck. Like, this was going to be a bad session, and now it's a good one. And I keep losing to him. Awesome looking dude. And it's okay. I'm tilting a little bit, like, oh, okay, you won that all in with whatever, 7-6 offsuit against ace-queen. That's fine. You called me a queen-jack of spades on 9-7x, two clubs, no spade with two people behind. And then you call when the ace comes. You know, he just knows what kind of player I am, that I'm going to try and win a lot of pots. So that was just, you know, whatever. And now the other table breaks and fills ours. This is another – this is just – I would be shocked if my table ever broke before the other one. And it doesn't mean I'm a whale. I win a lot of money. It just means I give a lot of action. I say stupid shit. And people want to have fun. Even if what you're saying is stupid, it's more fun than thinking about – you, the bills you got to pay, your kid's shitty report card, whatever it is. And, yeah. And so now it's full. We went from shorthanded to full. And I'm not playing great. And I say, I got to go. You know, I do. I got to work later in the day. And I got to work on my pod in between. And I say, what night do you guys want to play? Do this again? Always do this, right? When you kind of, when you were the fire starter and built this amazing game and had, you know, 4, 5, 7K pots going, and everyone agrees to do it again on Wednesday night. And so this is Monday morning, and I played for 9 hours, and I won 1 month of divorce settlement plus alimony plus miscellaneous kids expenses, and I paid for the princess to get her hair done. Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF poker player and sign up to become a patron today.